guest tonight, Larry Kelly. His book is Lessons from Fallen Civilizations, and it's well worth reading. It's very difficult to argue with his various immutable laws, which are enumerated throughout his book. His website is larrykelly.com, LarryKelley.com. Larry Kelly, the Free Molly Norris Foundation. Who is Molly Norris?
Yes, John, thanks for asking me. I have some news on it, by the way. We got the foundation put together. Lois Lerner at the center of the IRS scandal. It didn't hold me up too long, and so we now actually have it. I have our incorporation papers and our small nonprofit organization certificates, and we're all really really up and running. So your readers might remember in 2006 there was a Dutch cartoonist by the name of Kurt Westergaard who published a cartoon image of Muhammad.
Oh yeah.
Which touched off riots and murders and embassy burnings all around the world. 4 years later, so you're not supposed to draw Muhammad. That's against their religion. So it's
especially with a bomb on his head for a hat.
Bomb on his head for a hat, exactly. In April 2010, the people that were running South Park, it was a cartoon show. They had a cartoon episode where they had Muhammad with the head with a bomb or something. They got so many death threats that they had to run. They ran the episode with censored marks over the characters. Molly Norris was a cartoonist about the same time in 2010. She's based in Seattle. She worked for two publications up there and was a syndicated cartoonist. And she made the mistake of putting out on her Facebook a Let's Draw Muhammad Day. You know, the South Park guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that changed her life, sadly, forever. Tragically, she received so many death threats that the Seattle FBI office came to her and said, you need to go ghost, their term, meaning that she essentially went into kind of a witness protection program. She left her job, everyone that she knows. And when you go into a witness protection program, I mean, you cannot communicate even with your family. So Karen Lugo did some research on this, and I read some of her pieces, and she made the statement. She said, Norris is the first casualty in the campaign to Islamify America, and we let them take her down without a whimper.
Yep.
So I
remember who this woman is now.
And what we are doing, the publisher and I, is we're setting aside funds from our sales and are using our appearances like this one and others to interest people that want to get involved just to support her, but to also bring this issue up and keep it in the forefront. What the terrorists among us need is for us to just acquiesce and to submit, essentially. So that's the purpose behind what we're doing. And if you're interested in it, you can also go to the website, and there is a Molly Norris tab there. Now that I have my foundation, I've also made contact at the Seattle FBI office, having a real foundation, not one that we are in the process of waiting for our paperwork on. They admitted that that is the case office there. So I've sent them emails, and we will continue as we raise money to try to see if they won't provide us a conduit. We don't obviously want them to tell us where she is. We just want to know when we have funds, how can we, you know, provide it perhaps to them, to the FBI caseworker or whomever, so that we can get her the money.
This is unbelievable to me, and you know, nobody will sing out about this. It's like Christian crosses and things like this. Oh, they're forbidden at schools, but so many of these, I don't even know what side they're on. I think they're on their own side. I don't know if they're. I would say they would have to be left rather than right. But whatever, whoever it is, whatever label can be placed on them, it's like, oh, well, you know, we should respect these people. Why? Because if you insult their prophet, they will begin blowing things up. There was just a news report a minute ago about a shopping mall in Nairobi, Kenya, that just got shot up by a bunch of Islamic lunatics. And Americans are among the casualties, as well as some of the people associated with the Kenyan president over there. And supposedly the mall is owned by Israelis and so forth. So we're supposed to, we have to respect this religion and these people. These people are worthy of our respect because they'll kill you if you don't respect them. Is that it? I don't recall America rolling over for this kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
I really don't, you know, and I don't understand why people don't sing out about it and just go, you know what? This country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and that's how it is. And we're not going to go Islamic over here. We're not going to. You know, and I guarantee you there are plenty of people that you can point as many AK-47s at their heads as you want to and tell them, you know, renounce your Christianity, renounce your faith, and embrace Islam or you will die. It's like they're just going to go, well, pull the trigger, slick. You know? Well, who do these idiots think they're dealing with anyway?
Well, yeah, I mean, your point's well taken, and so that's the sort of the, what are their, our underlying charter is, John, with the Mali Northlands. Obvious to try to see if we can't help her out, but to keep this issue alive and to put the pressure on Islam to renounce its violent tendencies. And the Pope Benedict, the Pope now who's retired, he came up with a principle, and I have it in the book too, discuss it in the book, and it's called reciprocity. We should expect reciprocity. If we allow, for example, them to build mosques anywhere they want in the United States, they should not have a law, Sharia law, governing the infidels never setting foot in Mecca and Medina. They need to get rid of that. They need to stop thinking that any sort of slight should be met with violence. They need to get out of their religion, expunge from their religion the notion that if someone wishes to leave, that they should be killed. Apostasy. No one that understands Islamic jurisprudence argues the issue that if you leave Islam, you are an apostate and you should be killed. The punishment for that should be death.
Yeah, and I think that something else is overlooked.
Usually done by family members, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, usually. And I think our mainstream media has overlooked the fact that once you're raised Islamic, as far as the Islamic religion is concerned, once a Muslim, always a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and you can take that anywhere you want to go. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The FBI can't even set foot inside a mosque, and it's known that some of the mosques are centers for organizing a jihad, you know, and...
Absolutely.
If you can't get in there, what are you going to do?
The police chief in New York City, his last name is also Kelly, I can't remember his first name, but he's been coming under a lot of pressure because he'd had a unit that did infiltrate mosques. They followed leads wherever they went, including in the mosques, and he maintains that he's interdicted and stopped many, many plots in New York City.
I'll bet.
And so... You're absolutely right. I wrote a piece where I visited a mosque in Silicon Valley or Santa Clara area. It's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, not all Muslims are violent extremists. So let's not get there. But it's just that there are enough of them. Certainly, that there are a number of problems that have been reported around the world over the years. So
since 9/11, 20,000 attacks by Muslims on other Muslims or non-Muslims since 9/11,
people only 20,000.
I get this question a lot, which is essentially, you're not saying all Muslims are terrorists, are you?
No, I'm just saying that most terrorists are Muslims.
Yeah, there you go. And then Bernard, I'm quoting Bernard Lewis, who is considered the professor emeritus on Middle Eastern studies. I think he's 90 years old.
Right.
He's written, I don't know, 30 books, and that's his statement. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but nearly all terrorists are Muslim.
Yeah, nearly. Well, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Shall I toss us into the ring with some callers here?
Love it.
Because there are some people who want to talk to you. Wild card line number 2, Mark in Oregon.
Me and Larry, good evening to you. Great to speak with you.
Mark, thanks for calling.
Oh, pretty good, thank you. Thanks for the most informative program. Being as you're on the general topic of civilization ending disasters, I, of course, in the first hour, John, you did discuss the power grid shutdown and some of the eventuality that would occur after that, of course.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I understand people would go to cannibalism after about 3 weeks with no power. So that's easy to extrapolate that happening, you know, when you consider that, of course, the grocery stores would be out of food, I think your first guest, John, said, within about 3 hours, 3 to 6 hours in most places. And of course, there wouldn't be any gasoline to deliver the food. So Janet Napolitano, about a month ago, roughly, after she retired, I believe, from head of Department of Homeland Security, said that there is a 100% chance that we're going to have a grid failure in this country. And some could take it as a scare tactic to throw people off balance, but when I look at this exercise that they're going to be running scheduled for the 13th and 14th of November, and I look at the idea that in the scientific community, Professor James McKinney is one individual who has expressed his opinion, and he's written a book about the electric universe, that when Comet Ison has its closest approach to the sun, that actually there's a possibility of a solar flare which could take down the electric grid on the planet. So we have the drill schedule for the very days, the 2 days, the 13th, 14th of November, we're going to have this closest approach of Planet Ison. And I wanted to ask you gentlemen what you think of, we have a drill going here. We had a drill going at 9/11 during the time that 9/11 actually occurred to camouflage the actual real events so that there wouldn't be any hindering it by, say, in 9/11, the case of 9/11, your airport traffic controllers who had to give some okay along the line there. You also had the drill run at Oklahoma City. You had a drill run at the Boston bombing at the Boston Marathon. You had a drill run at 777, the subway train bombing in England. So this is a real indicator here, along with Ms. Napolitano's statement, the fact that they are going to be running a drill and that they could actually claim a real power outage on the 13th or the 14th during the drill because of Planet Ison actually causing the flare, whereas they actually are going to cause it. They're actually going to shut the whole grid down in all probability in their own mind. But I was wondering what you thought about the feasibility and viability of this idea.
Well, we got a little bit far afield from what we were talking about, Larry. But
I don't know anything about the solar. What I know about is the electromagnetic pulse weapon that the Iranians and others have and are testing, and that is also designed to knock out our grid. And there are ways that we can harden the grid. I'm not an expert on it, John. But I think it's a national priority that's being overlooked as to what we could do right now to protect the grid. I don't know why we're not doing that, why we're not building out missile defense as fast as possible and so forth. But, again, you know, it's a matter of leadership, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is.
Larry, they actually, for at least the last 5 years in Congress, there's been a group of congressmen who have tried to get the funds appropriated, which would be to cover the whole grid. Large municipalities would be only several million dollars to cover the whole grid in the United States would actually be the cost of a B-1 bomber, which would be a little over $2 billion. So they're obviously leaving it vulnerable for a future event. That's what I've derived from that. So it's all adding up, and, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I guess there's not a lot we can do about it.
No, I think you're right about that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
you. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. JP in St. Louis, east of the Rockies. Come on.
Yeah, good
JP.
Morning,
good morning.
It's nice to talk to you. And Larry, good morning.
Hi, JP. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I got a few quick comments about what you were talking about, Larry. But first, did it ever occur to you, John, that Chernobyl was man-made as far as it was an accident? You know, they were doing a drill. It went bad, so that's a man-made mistake. And then what really gets me is, I never heard you talk about this, but for the Japanese one, that do you realize that all them smart people, all them engineers, all them scientists, they put them nuclear reactors there on them islands, and they didn't have the intelligence to know, it went past all them people to know that you don't put generators, people in Florida know this, you don't put generators on the ground floor, on the ground. You put them up high on a building, so that if they would have put their generators up high on the buildings, there would have been no problem because the water would not have knocked out the generators, which caused the heat to melt down.
Well, it's probably a bad idea to put a series of nuclear reactors on a known fault line that's well known for disturbances of the earthquake that and the resulting tsunami that caused this whole problem. Yeah, but you know, they couldn't even spell one high, I can't remember who it was. It was a high ranking official in the Japanese government. He went there for a tour and they spelled his name wrong on his tag and he wore the tag. So just remember, the experts are routinely baffled, which of course means that, well, they're not experts. Let's, Larry, I hope you're enjoying this. We just go all over the place here, but talking to you always yields many, many good things. So let's take our break and do some more, shall we?
Yeah, well, let's do. And we could. I'd like to also, if we could, just touch briefly on the Intergovernmental Panel report on climate change. It's
please.
It's an amazing one.
Let's do that. Let's do that when we carry on with Larry Kelly on Coast to Coast AM. Hang in there for a minute. Well, good morning to you. In most parts of the world, and it's still evening in a couple of parts of the world. That's a band called Massive Attack. That song is entitled A Prayer for England. If you ever get a chance to see Massive Attack in concert, you would do yourself a favor. It really is. It's a massive musical attack of the good variety. And we still have a good little chunk of time left in the program. A quick thank you to everybody who's become a Coast Insider with your 3 years of archive shows and an expensive service that we are sure you will like. In that way, when you want to go back and either enjoy a segment or, you know, get kind of jacked up about a segment, it's good for you. Keep that blood pressure going up and down. There's nothing worse than boredom, is there? You know, you can just do about anything you want. Just don't bore me. You agree? Okay, good. We'll be right back with Larry Kelly. Stand by. This is Coast. All right, Larry Kelly, how about all this global climate change guff?
Well, I came across an article today, or it was earlier in the week, and the title is Frosty Future. And yeah. Of course, we can't rely on our own mainstream press to report this, but the London Telegraph wrote Sunday that a leaked IPCC, the IPCC is Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is now admitting that its models were all wrong over the last 25 years, predicting, you know, the warming of the planet, the ice caps melting, and so forth. What they're now saying is that we may be heading into a period of cooling that will not end until the middle of this century.
Yeah.
The Telegraph noted, there has been a 60% increase in the amount of ocean covered with ice compared to this time last year, the equivalent of almost a million square miles. Point is, they don't know what the climate is going to do.
They don't.
They can't predict what it's going to do next decade, five decades out. But there's a huge industry, you see, that is all about making sure that you and I pay much more money with carbon taxes for our fuel to heat our homes and to drive our cars, so that they can get a hold of that revenue stream and go on with whatever their social engineering plans are. The reason that this is so important is because we could become energy independent. We could put millions of Americans to work in high-paying jobs. We could generate huge tax revenues. We could be a net exporter. We could then also be independent of the Middle East. We wouldn't need to be as entangled as we are. So there's a security aspect to it. There is a the debt that we're amassing and we're piling on our children. You know, we are stealing from the future in order to bribe the present. However, the future is here. The bill is coming due.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I'll mention that.
So that's why this report is so critical. And of course, you know, it's almost become a religion for some people. You know, that they're going to save the planet by being a global warming advocate. But the point is, it's not warming.
No.
They were wrong.
No, and you know, I caught some flack last weekend when I read those reports. But the fact is that the apparently scientists have observed, scientists who are in this end of the game, they say that the solar activity is the lowest that it's been the last 100 years, and they've been talking about all the way back to 68, 69. In publications from Popular Science to Omni magazine when it first came out, that we may be entering a mini ice age. But I mean, look what happened to the Copenhagen summit. They got snowed out. I mean,
I know.
About a cosmic joke.
They call it the Gore effect. Everywhere he goes, to talk about global warming, they have the coldest day of the year or the decade or something.
Well, you know, Al Gore is he's a hell of a businessman. He really is. I mean, he made I don't know how many tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on his Inconvenient Truth, and then he sold his little network, Current TV, to Al Jazeera, and made another $100 million or so. So can't fault the boy for making money. But as far as his facts are concerned, he's completely full of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's just
is.
Trying to be the first carbon billionaire.
Oh yeah, well. And now imagine how many people would like to be next. You know what? Dana came back online. We lost Dana a while ago. Let's bring Dana on.
All right.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry I could hear you, John, but you couldn't hear me, I guess.
No, I thought you gave up.
Pardon me?
I thought you gave up.
Okay. Sorry. Larry, could you please address two things regarding Benghazi especially that person that emailed John? Who I believe suffer from premeditated stupidity. For those who doubt that there's no scandal there, could you please address, I didn't hear you talk about this, that within the first 20 minutes, there was an unmanned drone sent to monitor what was going on. So they were, in fact, getting everything in Washington in real time. They knew from 20 minutes in that it had nothing to do with that video that man made. And secondly, I would like you to also address the fact that there was there's a man, I believe his name, a black man named Reggie Bush, not the New Orleans football player, but it was one of Obama's right-hand men that have come out recently. I just read the article, and sorry I can't tell you where I read it, that he said that Obama stated something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, that he couldn't be bothered with that, and they continued playing cards, and then he went to bed. And so he knew what was going down, and half a month in, 2 weeks after, he lied to the United Nations. They knew immediately it wasn't a video and told the UN that it was a video that spurred all of this. But yet when he had that debate with Romney and Candy Crowley helped him in that debate, and he said, I came out right away and said it was terrorism. He did not. 2 weeks in, a half a month in, went to the UN in front of the whole world and lied and said it, still insisted that it was a video. So for all of those who believe there is no scandal, could you please address what this Reggie, I think his last name is Bush, said that he was playing cards with Obama, and then Obama went to bed, and then also the drone thing, that they knew for a fact what was going down in Benghazi, and they did nothing. They let those guys die.
John, you weigh in as well. That is absolutely what I think I remember came out in testimony in front of Congress that there was a drone overhead beaming information back to the Situation Room in real time, almost instantaneously. And it's also been ascertained, Dana, that he never went into the Situation Room. President Obama never went in. The Reggie Bush, I think he is either a photographer or a handler or something like that, and he slipped up. He was on a comedy show, so kind of bragging that, you know, the night of the attacks, Benghazi, he was playing cards with the president. So I've heard that. I think he inadvertently let that slip. John, do you want to weigh in on any of that?
No, not really. I've heard you just enumerated everything that I have heard, and the thing is how can you substantiate this? You know?
Well, I think it was either Panetta or Hillary who told, under oath while being questioned, that yes, there was live video, and Obama never even bothered to go down and look at it.
Yeah, I remember that he supposedly made a comment like, I can't stay for all of this, or I can't handle this, or whatever, and just left the area. Yeah, it's out there. It's obvious. I mean, the whole thing just completely stinks. It just does. I'm sorry.
I put it in my article. I just said, you know, there was a reason. The motivation was that this was, 6 weeks before the election, and they felt that their vulnerabilities was that he was soft, you know, on terror and soft on, you know, national security. So they were peddling this statement that al-Qaeda was on the run and that he'd killed bin Laden and all that. So that might very well be, Dana, the motivation, too. I mean, we don't know. We don't know exactly what he said, what Hillary said to him, and what orders or he gave or did. But we do know. But also, you know, this was an attack on an embassy where four people were killed, and he just left. He just went on a fundraiser. No response at all. Just went off to Las Vegas. So I mean, this is, you know, it's real malfeasance. And if it were Bush, not only would had done something like this, not only would all the Democrats be, you know, gathering articles of impeachment, I think the Republicans would probably be joining them.
Well, so I think you're right about
that. There's a little double standard, sadly.
Yeah, and you know, I can't really put my finger on why, because as you say, it seems like if it had been absolutely anybody else. I mean, what about this thing? A listener just sent an email that says it's interesting that the administration is falling all over itself to disarm the American people, but they just rescinded an order that arms cannot be provided to no arms deals of any kind with known terrorist groups.
I had it in my notes to bring it up. Yes, I saw the report on it. I haven't dug any deeper. I just know that report is out there. Executive order, just the stroke of a pen. Yeah.
Well, that's all it takes. I mean, you can create several billions of dollars with the stroke of a pen, and we just add it to the debt and roll it over until to the next generation, I suppose. Let's take another one real quick while we have time. Let's talk to Michael in Indiana. First-time caller.
Hello?
Michael, how you doing?
Yes, awesome. Oh, what an honor it is to be on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mike.
Glad to have you.
You guys have talked about so much things. I mean, I could probably talk about almost every subject you've probably been on tonight. Wow.
Well, you got a question for Larry?
Well, I mean, what I really called about was the truck drivers that shut down America movement that's supposed to happen next month between October 11th through the 13th.
Shut down America movement?
Yes. There's a Facebook page, and the truck drivers want to shut down all the trucks. And they're actually they're asking for everybody else to help by, you know, not going anywhere or buying anything for the three-day weekend. Well, it starts on Friday.
I did hear about it, and it's I've been just in passing. I don't know a great deal about it, but I've written a three-part. I'm actually on my fourth part of a four-part article on why will America not go Egypt? And what I'm it's mainly a thought experiment. But what I'm saying is that, you know, the Egyptians have taken down two dictators in 2 years, and the formula, the Egyptian model has been this: millions of people flooding the squares, flooding the, you know, the areas around the government buildings, and demanding that the government leave, and the military siding with them. That's
well,
the Egyptian
actually,
model.
Actually, they're also asking for truck drivers that can actually get to Washington, D.C. those 3 days.
Right, right. That's what I heard, too. It would be a way to just halt commerce.
Right.
And let our elected officials know that we're fed up with very bad government. And if you, we've talked about this in our first session back in January, but I have these list of 10 immutables of why civilizations fail, and you can think of them as undermining factors. And what causes these undermining factors? Bad governance, bad decisions. And that's where we are now. The government is too expensive. It's drowning the private sector. It's driving the country into bankruptcy. Our kids, I don't have anything to say about it. We're placing all this debt on their heads. So I think that as a matter of course, I'm not advocating this, but I'm thinking, I think it's inevitable that the folks in Washington that are running the show there, they're gone a little bit too far,
hasn't it? I mean, it's really just gone a little bit too far.
The status quo is now run its course, and the bill is coming due.
Well, yeah, you know, if there's an indiscretion here or an indiscretion there or a bad policy move there or the other, that's fine. But when it's just a rolling tsunami of one
yeah.
scandal after another, it's just like, all right, let's pull the cord on this train. You know,
yep.
I'm with you on this. All right, well, then let me ask you this. Do you think it's going to take a massive, just this, your opinion, as you say, we're not advocating this, I'm not trying to encourage people to do it. We get in deep trouble for that. But do you think this country can get back up on top with a sufficiently potent dose of civil disobedience? Do you think we can actually affect any real change?
I have this, I'm sort of like in these pieces, if you go to my website, LarryKelly.com, you can read them. Why will America not go Egypt? And the big major component is, you know, will the police and the military and the National Guard, as they did in Egypt, side with the people who are fed up? And then what happens is you get essentially it's a military takeover. What's happening in Egypt, but everything I can see, it's fairly orderly, and they are planning to have elections in the future. But so who knows how it'll play out? And it's always fraught with danger, a military coup, of course. And so I'm not advocating it. What I'm suggesting is, I can see it happening. I can see the possibility, and this trucker strike is just one example of, you know, how people are, you know, the truckers are being driven out of business. Why? Because the EPA is putting standards on them that they can't live up to. And the EPA is a rogue agency that passes thousands and thousands of regulations. They're unelected, and nobody even knows what they're up to, and they're making it harder and harder and harder for truckers and all kinds of other businesses to stay in business. So,
it's been a quick one,
yeah,
Larry.
Good call. Actually, that was I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, me too. It was great to have you back on the program, and when we want to keep up with you post articles regularly at LarryKelly.com?
Yes. If I have an offer to regarding the Molly Norris. If we have a book website. If you're just interested in learning about the book, you can also go to lessonsfromfallencivilizations.com, or you can go to my website, or my Facebook is, facebook.com/Kelly Comment. And if you leave your email, we will email you a way you can order a Molly Norris greeting card. That way, if you want to give my book as a gift, you will explain to your end user that that you're doing this as a way to support her.
So excellent, Larry.
The free Molly Norris greeting card for anybody who wants to just, you know, get on board, leave their email address.
All right. Listen, we're out of show, but it was great to have you here, and we'll be in touch, and we'll get back together on the air again soon, all right?
Thank you very much, John. Really appreciate it.
Take care. Steve sent this email. It's a quote from D.H. Lawrence, 1922 British writer. Men fight for freedom and win it with hard knocks, their children raised easy. Let it slip away again, poor fools, and their grandchildren are once more slaves. Don't let it happen. Good night.